This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, April 3rd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Newsom touts water policies, update to California water plan, and bill to ban paraquat. Newsom went up the hill to fetch a pick of water. Governor Newsom and his water leaders hit the all-familiar talking points during a press conference yesterday near Lake Tahoe, alongside Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot and Department of Water Resources Director Carla Nemeth. The governor stressed that the hots are getting hotter. The administration is tackling this by building a delta tunnel to move water more quickly and safely. Newsom also touted his legislation that helped to fast-track permitting for the site's reservoir proposal and said his leadership with voluntary agreements for Bay Delta flows is getting, quote, past the binaries in water politics. The trio described how the state is tapping into multi-benefit solutions like floodplain restoration and groundwater recharge. Now keep in mind, the press conference traditionally covers snowpack readings, which came in at 110% of average for this time of year. Yet state climatologist Michael Anderson pointed out afterward that the recent climate extremes meant the state needs an above average snowpack to get a normal amount of runoff into reservoirs. Water plan gets a new paint job. Before closing yesterday's press conference, Governor Newsom announced a new update to the California Water Plan. The state strategy for managing its supply sprouted to life nearly a century ago and now reappears every 5 years in new form. The latest draft is split into three themes: addressing climate urgency, strengthening watershed resilience, and achieving equity in water management. It dedicates a chapter to the frontline communities experiencing the first and worst with environmental justice issues, and another to resources for tribes. Why it matters? Well, among the seven objectives laid out in the report, irrigation districts and ag interests will be closely following a pledge to support and increase flexibility in regulatory programs. That could lead to more streamlining for water projects and other infrastructure-related actions. The plan also recommends DWR acquire and manage water rights public benefit for tapping floodwaters for recharge and for drought banks. Sound familiar? Well, many of the actions were outlined in Newsom's water resilience portfolio in 2020, then revived in his water supply strategy 2 years later, and rebranded in his recent salmon strategy. Worth noting, the new report points out that ag used just 35% of the water captured in the state system during the wet year of 2019 and half of the dry year in 2020. Yet the narrative that it uses 80% of the water lingers, even at DWR. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Bill to ban paraquat in California set for introduction. A California Assembly member plans to introduce legislation to ban all uses of paraquat in the state, the Environmental Working Group has announced. Assembly member Laura Friedman, a Democrat who represents Burbank, is behind the bill, said EWG, which plans to hold a news conference today with Friedman. Almonds, grapes, cotton, and pistachios are among the crops in which paraquat is used to control weeds. You can check out this week's AgriPulse newsletter for our story on comments submitted to EPA on paraquat. Avian flu hits large egg farm. The latest outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza has now claimed a large layer operation owned by the nation's largest egg producer, Calmaine Foods. Nearly 2 million birds will be killed at the Texas operation, the company said yesterday. Also yesterday, USDA confirmed that a dairy herd in Idaho had tested positive. USDA had previously confirmed cases of HPAI in 7 dairy herds in Texas, 2 in Kansas, and 1 each in Michigan and New Mexico. Why it matters? Well, dairy cows don't have to be killed after an HPAI infection, but birds do. The last national outbreak of HPAI in poultry caused egg prices to skyrocket by more than 32% in 2022. Lawmakers call for seafood policy office at USDA. 16 senators and 20 House members are pressing leaders of the Senate and House Ag Committees use the Farm Bill to create an Office of Seafood Policy and Program Integration within the Agriculture Department's Office of the Chief Economist. In a letter, the lawmakers say, quote, the U.S. has for too long failed to think strategically about how to support seafood, both farmed and wild, as a priority food commodity and position U.S. seafood to be more competitive in domestic and global seafood markets. They say an office devoted to the subject would allow agencies to better coordinate and would, quote, put seafood on par with federal support programs extended to every major domestic food commodity. The lawmakers also call for expanding seafood purchasing and federal nutrition programs and approving the Fishing Industry Credit Enhancement Act that would expand Farm Credit System lenders' authorities to include fisheries projects. Here's today's She Said It. These swings make it crucial to maintain conservation while managing the runoff. That DWR Director, Carla Nemeth. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, April 3rd. Brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.